Hi, Malcolm here, and welcome to the Sunday Sample for Corporate Worship Matters, episode 118, and today we're talking about being compelled to sing as worship leaders and congregations. Not about you, but sometimes when I'm leading worship, I just don't seem to be able to make the church sing, really. I mean, the mouths might be moving, but, and sometimes I don't feel it. Don't feel that compulsion, that inner compulsion. And we try various things. We alter the pitch to make it more friendly. We choose more familiar songs. We rehearse more thoroughly. Make sure the words are nice and visible on the screen. Perhaps pray more passionately. Lead with more energy. None of those things are wrong. And I've recorded other podcasts and videos about them. So they're all, I have their place. But we try all of those things. And still, there seems to be a lack of inner compulsion in the congregation. And what do we do then? How about we go back to basics? How about we think about how we can inspire the heart? Now, I'm thinking about this partly because it's a very relevant issue for me, and I'm sure it is for most of us who lead worship, but also because I've been reading a book called Sing, that's Sing with a exclamation mark, and it's by the Gettys, who are writers of and contributors to many famous songs, including In Christ Alone, as just one example. And I'm in the third chapter of the book, and it's called Compelled to Sing. I thought I'd bring you some thoughts from the chapter, but also of my own, and ways that might help us to think about how we can help our congregations to be compelled to sing from here, not just from here, from the mouth. Now, in the book, the Gettys focus on the principle that people in touch with their salvation sing. They just do. They feel compelled. No one has to force them, manipulate them, or cajole them into it. They quote Bob Corflin, a well-known worship leader, who said this. Let me read for you. Worship isn't primarily about music, techniques, songs, or methodologies. It's about our hearts. It's about what and who we love more than anything. I think the key verse that connects with that is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, which says this: For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live for him should, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And so that's what compels us to live. And as much as that love of Christ compels us to live for him, surely it also is our motivation. It compels us to sing for him. It applies to both. The Gettys put it beautifully in their book. I sing because I'm free to run from all that tore me apart and to run to all that makes me whole. What a beautiful quote. I sing because I'm free to run from all that tore me apart and to run to all that makes me whole. Isn't that true? Time and time again in the scriptures, people respond to God's revelatory salvation acts with songs of praise. And I'm going to give you a quick list here from the book, but you can look them up for yourself. I'm not going to go into them in detail now, but you might like to use them for quiet time, or perhaps a devotional for your worship team, or even for the congregation. So you've got the very first song in the Bible in Exodus 15. You've got songs of battle in Judges chapters 4 and 5, 1 Chronicles 15, 2 Chronicles 20. You've got the songs of David, of course, Psalm 117, Psalm 96, Psalm 105, Psalm 40, and Psalm 31. You've got the songs of the prophets, Ezra chapter 3, Nehemiah 12, Isaiah 52, Jeremiah 20, and Zephaniah chapter 3. I'll put all of these in the show notes. And then you've got the song, as the Gettys say, the song that sustains the prisoners, Acts 16. Which is Paul and Silas in prison. And have a look also at Romans 8, verses 38 to 39. Reasons for us to sing even though we are in trouble. See, perhaps your congregation and mine don't need so much a reminder to sing as a reminder of the significance of their salvation. Perhaps they need a refresher on that. And not only specifically salvation, but also the wonderful nature of God in his patience with us as Christians. The extraordinary nature of his ongoing grace. The victories in Christ that he has already given us. Seeing our friends saved. Seeing people married. Seeing children and members becoming Christians. Seeing the growth in spiritual maturity that is produced in us and the congregation and in individuals, in one another. Seeing the emotional transformation. Seeing us have those victories. Perhaps we should do well to reflect on that. Now you might say, fair enough, but I'm a worship leader. I'm not the preacher. I'm not the minister. I'm not the main person to engage with the congregation in reminding them of these things. Now, I would suggest a couple of things. First of all, a worship leader can't hide behind the role and say, because I'm not the minister, because I'm not a preacher, I don't have a role in inspiring people regarding their salvation or the victories that God has given them. I don't think we can hide behind that. Perhaps you need to speak more in your congregation. Perhaps not. It depends on gifting, and I understand that. But even if you're not the person to do the speaking, perhaps you're the person who could inspire others to speak about inspiring the congregation about their salvation, about the victories of God, about the nature of God. Perhaps you could have a word with whoever is the main speaker or the person who could inspire. Or perhaps if you're the leader of the worship team, you're not the person to speak. But perhaps you've got a member of your worship team who's more gifted than you and can talk to the congregation and inspire them about these things so that then they celebrate more from the heart when they sing and sing more, have that compulsion to sing on a Sunday or whenever you gather to worship together. So I have three teaching suggestions for inspiring the congregation to sing with all their hearts. So think about these. Firstly, teach on God's nature. Teach about his love, his forbearance, his long-suffering nature, his kindness, his patience. 2 Peter 3, verse 15, and what Peter says here, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother wrote to you, that the Lord's patience means salvation. What a great devotional topic. Well, secondly, as well as teaching on God's nature, teach on the significance of our personal salvation. Take people back to when they first got in touch with God's love and when God's love broke through to them in saving power in baptism. Psalm 95, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Or Acts 8, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. I reckon he was singing in that chariot. The nature of God, personal salvation, and God's promises. I think it's a great topic for teaching. God's promises. This could inspire people to sing. Remind people where we're going. Moving into ever-increasing Christ-likeness in this life, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And trusting that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. For example, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Or 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, sometimes I and our congregations get a bit tired. The Christian life can be tough. Life itself is hard, and the Christian life sometimes even more so. But when we are reminded that our labor in the Lord is not in vain, it lifts my spirit. I think it lifts the spirits of congregations, and then they're more likely to sing, to be compelled to sing because they're in love with God and what he's doing. It's an amazing thing. Perhaps either you or the person best suited by gifting in your congregation could teach more on these three areas: the nature of God, personal salvation, and promises. Perhaps they could be delivered as a set of sermons, a set of three, one after the other, and set some songs around it. Or perhaps it could be a mini lesson at some point in the service, and before the sermon or near the beginning, or before people are welcomed, or somewhere in there, maybe even just 2 minutes on one aspect of God's nature, personal salvation, or the promises that are ours. Might that help people to sing from the heart? I think it might. Let's see what we can do. Now, this isn't a quick fix. It's a relatively simple thing to adapt pitches of songs and that kind of thing to make them more singable. But to teach and preach in such a way as to inspire people to wholehearted devotion in the way they express it through singing is quite another matter. One lesson probably won't fix it. Probably it shouldn't. Otherwise, it won't be really deep. It'll be superficial. As Jack Hayford said, and he's the chap who wrote the classic song Majesty, he said this, which I've always held on to for many years since I read this a long time ago. It's easier to teach a congregation the Bible than it is to teach them how to worship. And he was talking here about corporate musical worship in particular. It's easier to teach people the Bible than it is to teach them how to worship. I think that's true. Doesn't mean it's impossible, and it certainly doesn't mean it's not worth it. But we need to understand as worship leaders that we have a long-term goal here. It's not just about this next Sunday. It's about where our worship will be in a month, 6 months, 6 years from now, growing in worship. And so some teaching on the nature of God, personal salvation, and the promises of God can help us with that as we go forward. Don't expect it to be one lesson, one service, then it's all fixed. We are human beings and we need reminders and ongoing teaching. By the way, if you're interested to know more about how Jack Hayford came to write the song Majesty, I've included a link in the show notes. It's quite interesting. It's while he was visiting, he's American, but he was visiting here in the UK, and he was here in 1977 during the Queen's Silver Jubilee, which I remember well, and he was seeing signs of crowns and celebration of the majesty of the Queen at that time, and it inspired him to write the song. So there's an interesting link, but there's more on it in the link I've put in the show notes. So, let's wrap up. What are your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on what helps a congregation to sing wholeheartedly? And I don't just mean one song service, but just because we picked the congregation's favourite songs. I don't mean that. I mean a consistent heart-level compulsion to sing. That week by week, generally, not every single week, but week by week, we sense that a congregation is in a place where wholehearted, self-motivated worship is happening when we gather to sing together. What have you seen done that gets in the way of that? And what have you seen done that helps to develop that? I'd like to know what you think. So please leave a comment anywhere you hear or see this recording. Leave it publicly so that we can learn from each other, because we learn best when we're learning in community. If you know anybody who might benefit from this recording, please pass the link on. And if you haven't already done so, hit the notification button, the subscribe buttons, and you'll be the first to be notified of new recordings when they go up. And if you're listening to the podcast, please leave a review. It'd be great to get a review. That really helps with lots of things, including, in particular, the visibility of these recordings so that more people may find them. Well, compelled to sing. I hope that this Sunday, when I'm leading worship and I'm part of the Congregation of Worship down in Thames Valley, which will be 2nd of February down at Wokingham, I hope that the congregation and the worship team will all feel compelled by the love of Christ to sing. And I hope that's true for where you are. And may we all grow in it. We can. Let's aim, by God's strength, God's power, to be those who are compelled to sing. Until the next time, take care and God bless you.